So I'm here in the car with Mark Watts. He's just popped a... Is it amitriptyline? What are you on? Tamazepam?
Yeah, amitriptyline.
Right, this is as good a time as any to do an interview, I think, on your record.
Who's that?
This is Cross Country. I'm in Cross Country official capacity now.
Cool, man.
So no swearing. Oh. It's a family magazine, all right? Can you manage that?
A family magazine?
We're all family. This is paragliding.
Right, okay. I don't know which way we're going now.
So Super Sunday... Yeah. As it's been called.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah.
Can you tell us about... I don't know. What do you want to tell us about?
Not about Super Sunday, anyway.
How much of a nutter you are. That's it.
How much of a nutter are you?
Well...
Do you like the windy days, don't you?
No, I don't really. But, you know, these northern monkeys were coming down, so we had to have a go, didn't we?
Where have we got to go?
Kenny, I'm trying to do an interview here.
Which we're getting 25 south.
Right. Stop swearing. Okay, so carry on. So the Northerners, yeah. Cav, Barney, they're all...
The Northern monkeys were coming down. I would have stayed at home in bed if it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
It's their fault, not mine. They were coming down, so I thought we'd better have some. And Hugh Miller organised me and got me out of bed and all the rest of it. So we went to the hill.
Not in that way, but yeah, I did. Okay. So you climbed out with Kirsty first, whilst I was dilly-dallying around. How was the climb out?
A little bit choppy to begin with, sometimes a bit up and backwards, and, you know, it was pretty breezy, but, you know, once we got up to a couple hundred feet, it smoothed out and became quite pleasant, really.
And you carried on climbing to base, and then it was quite a good street, wasn't there, for the first
30Ks? Dirty, fucking great Cloud Street. A very large Cloud Street.
Stop swearing.
Went from pretty much Marlborough to sort of Wantage. Didn't circle until I got to Wantage. Went just beebly-wobbly under those, all the way to Wantage. Got low at Wantage. Left Kirsty circling in some weaker stuff behind me. And... got low at Abingdon, and then Kirsty stopping in the weak stuff was a bit more of a smart move, really, because there she is sitting pretty at Cloud Base, and there I am grovelling about. Well, I say grovelling about, you know, there I am down to 600 foot, getting roughed up. So she schooled me properly there.
And conditions on the hill, base was what, 3.5 grand, went up to about 4 grand, but it didn't look epic, did it? It looked quite scuddy. How did it look when you got out towards Oxford?
Well, you say scuddy, the cumulus were very big. I always wanted the option to be able to run out the blue. Didn't want to get stuck under those cumulus in anything a bit sucky and not being able to get away from it. There was a blue gap, and it was looking better towards Oxford and out to the left. Big cumulus around to the right. That's the way Kirsty went. I went slightly left, just near the Bryce Norton airspace. It started to look a bit more sensible, really. Not quite so big and stormy.
And what has strong with the climbs?
I don't know, really. Nothing excessive. There were some good climbs, you know, maybe 3 meters, but there's nothing that, you know, made you raise your eyebrows. They're a bit choppy, a bit windy, and a bit snappy in places. But nothing ridiculously off the clock on the climb rates. Got low, so I climbed up at Abingdon, cruised over Oxford, and then glided again and got low at some disused airfield just past Oxford somewhere, north of Avesbury, is it? Somewhere about there. And that's where Kirsty, she came over at Cloud Base. I don't think she'd seen me bottom feeding and scudding about. She glided over and glided off towards Milton Keynes under some spread out. And I never saw her again. Managed to get back up, glided north, just to the north side of Milton Keynes. It's all, it was a big old town, that one. Climbed again on the north side there, and away it went from there, really. A couple of ATZs to steer around.
And we got a retrieve early today, and you were telling Ella about, that kind of gave us a lift, about just the sight of this... The sailplane's coming in on your way into Norfolk. Can you tell us about that again?
Yeah, there's some lake up there somewhere. Going towards Norfolk, and I'm sort of gliding along, and three sailplanes come zipping along a Cloud Street, and then another five or six, and it's like, that's classic. You know, they're obviously on a task racing each other. A couple of them waggled their wings as they went past, and I sort of remember looking at my altimeter thinking, thinking I'm a bit low really, and I looked at the altimeter, it said 4,000 feet, and you know, it sort of turns out when I got to cloud base it was about 7, so yeah, it's a pretty special day. And then it's like, oh look, there's the wash all of a sudden. I'd sort of gone a bit gaga, I hadn't been drinking or eating, then the wash all of a sudden came up. Scooted around a bit of ATZ here and a bit of ATZ there. And
when you were you aware that you'd broken the record? Because when you landed, we had to work out how far you'd gone.
I knew it'd be close.
Yeah. I mean, so you didn't have a moment when you thought, yeah, I'm passing 250 now?
Oh, yeah, I knew I was going past 250, but not necessarily I suppose 250, yeah, that's Rich's record, isn't it? 256. I knew it'd be really up there. I knew it'd be right close.
Were you excited? Or like,
yeah, lovely, tell your mother.
I will if you like, but I don't think she'd really know what that's about. But
no.
So did you? Were you buzzing to the extent where you couldn't really concentrate on your thermaling, or?
No, that wasn't. It wasn't buzzing. Thinking I've got the record in the bag. It was more just you know, a bit shell shocked. Really, been up for a while and hadn't eaten enough or drunk enough in flight, and was just a bit gaga. Yeah.
So, how does this flight compare with other good flights you've done over the last couple of years?
It's special because of the height of the cloud base, being in Norfolk, but it wasn't the most enjoyable flights of flights that I've had. Did a much nicer one from Charpenteau down to Axminster. That was much more enjoyable. Don't get me wrong, it's a good flight, like, obviously lovely to have done it, but not necessarily the most enjoyable day. What's been achieved is pretty insane, but yeah, the flying wasn't the most pleasurable.
What do you think's possible in the future then? I mean, you know, we're looking at different sites and different options. Richard Carter now, he knows you can't do it from Bradwell anymore. You simply can't do 275 from there. So the number of sites that you can fly this sort of distance from are few and far between.
We've got to find a little southwesterly down at Taunton or Tiverton.
Yeah. You're a bit incurable, aren't you?
And then we got 350.
That's the first thing you said when I picked you up from the station.
Yeah. And 350's on the cards. I mean, I landed at 5, averaging 50k an hour or 48k's an hour. They probably would have gone until 7. So there we go, 250, 255's on the card. 350's on the cards.
Can you explain a little bit about that speed, what that means for people who sort of maybe aren't that aware about, you know, flying speed and that sort of thing?
Average ground speed?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fast. I mean, 32s is good. Anything above sort of 32 is a lot of ground speed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a high ground speed. It means that, you know, you're zipping along, aren't you?
And a lot of that would have been the wind speed. I mean, it was howling in places. But also
60 to 80k ground speed, I saw.
Right. Yeah. And that's a trim, is it?
Maybe a little bit of bar, but not much.
Yeah. And were you doing some fairly long glides along good lines, or?
Not necessarily along good lines, but yeah, with all that wind, you know, I mean, I'm looking at the glide calculator on the old Garmin, and it's saying, you know, 20, 25 to 1. And 60, 80k ground speed, it's like, yes, we like this.
So is that sort of, it's probably the windiest day you've flown in the UK, isn't it? Apart from Ridebury last year when you did, 150 in 3 hours?
Yeah, similar sort of thing.
Is that sort of opening your eyes to the potential of flying in wind in
the UK? Yeah, I mean, it's what you need to do to go a long way, but it's not necessarily the nicest flying to be had.
You know, any questions? I'm running out of steam here.
Being on the hill, you know, being chopped up, thinking, yeah, I want to climb out, want to get away from here, you know, it's not much fun. And then when I was gliding, I went past Norwich airspace, some airspace there. Went around the corner of that, and I'm gliding towards Cromer, and there's a lovely big pancake cumulus. And I'm thinking, actually, I'm going to fly around that. I don't want any of that just now. I'm coming up to the coast. I don't want to be, 1K over the coast at 7,000 feet. Thank you very much.
And you landed in single digits, you said, ground speed.
Well, I was gliding towards. I mean, I could have probably made the coast. And I just parked it into wind and thought, right, we'll have a check on the ground speed. And it, Yeah, it went down to below 10, sort of went down to about 4 or 5. And I thought, right, okay, we'll keep away from the coast and find somewhere nice and flat without too much, you know, turbulence upwind.
What sort of distance? You've both flown rigid wings a little bit. What sort of distance do you think is possible on a rigid wing in the UK?
Oh, I think if they stretch it, they might be able to do about 150. They're so uncomfortable.
But go on, I mean, you know, in a south-southwest from Milt with a crosswind performance, they should be doing 400k, shouldn't they?
Well, if they've got the enthusiasm, the poor chaps haven't, have they? Well, can you blame them? I mean, they've got, I would suggest, double the performance. I'm all right, the numbers don't say double, but basically, as you go faster with the things, they don't come down. I mean, they have a lot more performance than we do. And yeah, if they had organised retrieve drivers and had the enthusiasm, yeah, I'm sure they'd be doing 400.
The one advantage, I guess, paragliders have is ability to get low, get down to, you know, 400, 500, 600 feet, and be able to get back up and not have to worry about the landing. Whereas a lot of hang glider pilots are kind of sussing out landing fields at 1,000 feet.
Oh, tell that to Manfred Rumor or Steve Cook or Thomas Sushanik. They're not worried about it. They'll be climbing out from 500 feet without a problem.
Okay.
You know, it's, I think if they've got the application, it's a serious tool. Just very uncomfortable to fly.
So what's on next on the cards for you, Mr. Watts?
I'm going to go home and have an iced coffee.
No, you've just had one of those.
I'm going to have another one.
Okay. It's all about wing loading. right, I think that's it. Anything else you want to add? Any thanks?
Thank you to everybody. I love you all.
No, I'm kidding.
Especially Annie. She puts up with me. Well,
she
is at the moment.
It does take a lot, though, doesn't it? It takes a lot out of
Thank you to Annie, thank you to Huey, thank you to Kenny, thank you to Sussex Paragliding, thank you to Ozone, thank you to everybody, I love you all.